Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by David Thomas.
How you doing? Are you all right? Say, there has to be a cry. Say it again, there has to be a cry. This is Isaiah's cry. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. What is it that stirs you? I'm not just talking about a crying that brings tears. I'm talking about a yearning, a groaning inside of you that says, Lord, I need to see you do something here. Lord, I need to see change. I need to see these people saved. Because you see, quite often I think we try things our own strength. Who knows that? We think action, was discussing this in Life Team, action is more important than prayer, when actually prayer is action. You know, that difficult family member we always try and talk to about God and we get off in an argument. Or that friend that, oh, he'll never know Jesus. But how much do we pray? What is our cry? How much do we pray for that individual to know Jesus? Rather than just talk to that person, let's pray. Let's be that people that have that cry for these individuals. A definition of a cry. A loud, inarticulate shout. Don't think about it too much, you just go for it. Or scream, expressing a powerful feeling or emotion. Crying means something has really affected you. It's not, I poke you and you start to cry. It's there's something deep inside you that has affected you. Something that affected Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. He wasn't content with, I'll tell some people, but some other people won't know. For Zion's sake, he cared about the whole town. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Crying brings breakthrough. Crying brings breakthrough. How many times have you cried and then I bet you feel so much better for that? People say that, don't they? Oh, you know, I'm not a big crier myself, one that produces tears anyway. But when I do cry, oh, it does feel better. So crying brings breakthrough. Crying really does bring breakthrough. What is it that makes me cry? I was at a wedding recently, and a wedding's a time for a celebration, isn't it? Yep. And everyone gets dressed up and is looking forward to seeing the bride come down. The groom's there, nervous, and the bride's coming down. And then there was this guy, and he wasn't in a suit. He was in jeans. And he was in a Nike hoodie. And this is what makes me cry. Not everyone could, because this wasn't what makes them cry. This is what made me cry. Inside, you could tell, he was a young lad, you could tell that he'd been through something traumatic. I could just tell. He enjoyed a cigarette. That was to calm the pain. That was to kind of a coping mechanism for him. But he was there the whole day, and he was on the outskirts of things. He was on the outskirts of the day. And my heart inside just broke for this guy, you know? And I feel God is saying, you know, what people group? What is it that you're crying for? What is it that you're crying for? And I saw this guy, and my heart wanted to reach out to him. And it was like, well, you know, you have that moment, don't you? And on that particular day, I didn't say anything, but God awakened my heart to show me what made me cry. And yeah, so my heart just went out to him. That was my cry. That was my cry. And you see, some of you know, but my dad died 11 years ago, this last week. And you see, that's painful, like for anybody. When you lose someone, it's painful. But The decision I've made is to have allowed my pain to tell my story. My pain enhances my cry. I am not allowing the enemy to rob me of my life. I'm not going to be stuck in grief for the rest of my life. I miss my dad terribly. I miss him. My heart yearns for him. But I do not allow grief to hold me. It enhances my cry. It's like, Lord, where are the fatherless? Bring them to me. Bring them to me, Lord. What can I do to see them restored, redeemed? How can I show them who you are? So here's my challenge. What's your people group? What's your people group? When you talk to someone, it should be I talked to Ron about farming. Ron just talked to me about farming for the rest of the day. That was something that was on his heart. I was like, Ron, I bet you learn so much from, you know, biblical principles looking at being a farmer. And I was talking to him. That was on his heart. What is on your heart today? Because we can say, for Zion's sake, we want to see Scarborough saved. And like Claire mentioned last week, it's quite a big faith statement to say, I want to see Scarborough saved. And in some ways, I don't believe that, but I can believe for the fatherless to come home. That's what I can believe for. I can believe for the fatherless to come home. And then you see, you know, my wife's a teacher. She loves those children. She loves those children with all she's got. That's her heart. That's her passion. That's her cry. And I feel the Lord, we're in a season of crying. If you've been on Thursday nights, we've been in groups here at the front and we've been crying out to God. We've been making inarticulate shouts or screams and expressing powerful feelings and emotions to the Lord about what we want to see here in Scarborough, what His will is here in Scarborough. We're using Luke 11 to bring heaven down to earth. What makes you cry? What makes you cry? And you know, the Lord, I feel today, you might think, yeah, it's good for other people, you know. Does the Lord hear my cry? Does the Lord actually hear my cry, my own individual cry? Go to Psalm 56 for me. Perhaps you feel like this at the moment, maybe. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. I want to tell you today, God cares about your own individual tears. He cares about the pains, the hurts. As much as what's our cry, He cares about the things that are on your heart, the things that have hurt you. He cares about those things. And He wants to use those tears to bring people to Him. Amen? So He cares. He cares about you. He cares about you. Go to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. This is a great story. One that I feel is relevant for today. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. They've been there for 400 years. They've been enslaved by the Egyptians and they've come out. You know, another story from the Prince of Egypt. Who's from the Prince of Egypt? There can be miracles. There we are. I'll stop. It says, I'll read it and then we'll go from there. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when He heard them, His anger was aroused. Scary. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So that place was called Terabar because fire from the Lord had burned among them. the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but manna. So they're complaining. They've had enough. This is their cry. The manna was like coriander seed, looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it into a handmill or crushed it into a mortar. They cooked it in a pot and made it into loaves and tasted it and it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. And basically what happens is Moses gets burdened he gets overburdened for these people. He says, did I give birth to them? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land? You promised an oath to their ancestors. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. I believe what the Lord's saying, we're praying for Scarborough, but this burden can't fall on one person or one church. God wants to do a work, or one organisation. God wants to do a work to bring the whole church together. So Moses gets 70 people. Moses gets the 70 elders together, and they share this burden together. They share this burden, and I believe with this cry, it's not just about one church standing out. It's not just about one particular people group. It's about the church coming together. It's about people being unified to see salvation like a blazing torch till her vindication shines out like the dawn. And so it goes on. And so they want meat. They want meat. They want the equivalent of going to Nando's. That's what they want. And how many times do you know, like sometimes you cry out for things, don't you? Like for instance, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are buying a house. And that's got to me a bit. Not because I'm really happy they've got a house. But I want one. I want one. And so you see, sometimes my gratefulness for them, my happiness for them is blurred because I want one. Where's mine? And sometimes we can look at people, or we can look at things and look at the gift on their life, or look at what they do all day, or I wish I was like them. And you think, I want one, or I want that meat, or I want to do this. And you see, the world is looking for something. They're looking for quail in this case. The Israelites are looking for quail. They want meat. They're not satisfied with what God has given them already. They're not thankful for what God has given them already. And so I think it's so important sometimes to be thankful for where you're at, to move forward. Because sometimes you can get so blurred with, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to see this happen. And you get so upset sometimes. Does anyone else feel like this? You get upset because you're not seeing certain things happen in your life. But look at what God's done in your life already. And sometimes we think, oh, I haven't got a testimony or I haven't got one that I was a drug addict and I was healed. But your story is worth telling. Your story is worth telling. Just because you haven't had this, that and the other doesn't mean you're not worth it. Let's be a people that are happy with the manna. Father, I'm so thankful for the manna today. Father, I'm so thankful for the flat that you've placed me in. What an amazing thing it is to have a roof over my head. What an amazing privilege it is to be part of this church, Lord. We don't get it right all the time. And you know, something happened in the hub today and it ticked me off. I'm not saying that actually happened to me, but can you see where I'm coming from? You know, something happened today and it ticked me off. But Lord, I so thank you that I'm part of a people that are bold, that are courageous, that we have a spirit of excellence. Father, I don't want the quail if it's going to kill me. You know, I suppose sometimes for me, how do I imagine Scarborough being saved? In some ways, I think, oh, we're going to have a big crusade. Benny Hinn, who knows Benny Hinn? Reinhard Bonnke's coming. A wave of the Spirit. Everyone's saved. You're going to get the book now that you're saved, and you're going to be put into churches. But I don't see that happening. What does it look like? Think about this. What does it look like for our context to be saved? What does it look like for your school? What does it look like for your business or your workplace to be saved? Are we willing to... I do community angels and we come across all different kinds of people. My challenge... Am I willing to reach out when that guy has a dirty hand? To shake his hand, to make him feel welcome, to make him feel accepted? That's how Scarborough is saved. Through relationship with people. And that's tough. That's tough. I'd much rather them say a prayer. Yeah, I believe. And then it's sorted. Great, job done, next person. But you see, if you look at Jesus, he was dealing with all different kinds of people all the time. And what people found disgusting, he found beautiful. Let's look at a story quickly. Let's look at a story. So, and it's this beautiful display of how Jesus doesn't look at the individual in the sense of how the disciples or the Pharisees look at this individual. And I think that's how we need to be with people. The alcoholics I see, or the depressed I see, I seek to engage with them like they're an individual. Not... have you done this or have you done that? Not, you need to get there. You need to be doing this. No, how are you today, Bob? It is so good to see you. I don't shout like this. But that passion for that individual. That passion for that individual. You know, sometimes before I go on Community Angels, for instance, and I see people, I'll pray and say, God, I need your compassion right now. Perhaps you're going into a tough meeting this week or something you've got to sort out. God, I need your compassion. I need your wisdom right now. Father, would you work your purposes in this situation? Father, what can I do to extend your kingdom? Another key verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Quite often, I like the things that will be added unto me. And I'll seek the kingdom. But you see, seeking the kingdom, and I think this is another thing, that's what makes me come alive. Do you ever get those moments and you're like, oh, I just want to do that again, and again, and again, and again. Not for the sake of the adrenaline pump. I'm not a skydiver. But for the sake of, I want to help people. I want to care for people. I want to talk to people. It might be, I want to start a business. It might be a heart for some area of Scarborough. And Father, I pray that you awaken those things in people's hearts. That Father, people would not settle for quail anymore. Not settle for what's best for someone else. But settle for your purposes in their lives. Because that is how salvation will blaze like a torch. When we as a people come alive. And so, Father, I just thank you today for a fresh cry. A fresh cry upon people's lives. But Father, I haven't done the best job up here today. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I gave it a go. And I pray that you would give it a go. In all that you do. In all that you say. That you would give it a go. No one ever knocked a man for giving it a go. Could be a Proverbs 32. So yeah, I pray for a fresh cry for this congregation and the congregations of this area. Amen. Thank you.
Praise God. Normally when you get up here, you know, you give like a quick summary, encouragement, thought on the word that's just been spoken. And that was a very powerful word. That was a very good word. But what I thought we could do for the next 5 minutes or so is turn to one, two people that you're with. And each of you do the preacher's bit at the end where you come up to the front and you say, wasn't that amazing what God said today? I got this. What did you get? Just turn to one another and everybody do that little bit about, this is what I heard in the word today. The only slight difference, I suppose, to the normal summary is think about what you heard for you personally. But you'll find as you try and share it with somebody around you, it starts to become even more a sort of a greater revelation. Okay, don't force anybody. If somebody's still so intense, you know, some people are very internal processing and they're not ready to express stuff yet. But, you know, be kind to one another and have a go. Even if it's very, very short, it doesn't matter. So let's just do that for the last, for about 5 minutes or so. One or two people around you, just, you can mess the chairs up. They're not staying out, so. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. It's interesting, isn't it? I often think of the Israelites when I've got cucumbers and tomatoes. And I think, I don't often regard these as luxury foods. That shows how spoilt I am. Incredible, isn't it? I mean, that's a very basic, not very spiritual thought, but I can have cucumbers and tomatoes whenever I want. I can have different types of tomatoes even. And cucumbers. I mean, the variety of tomatoes available is just incredible, isn't it? From small ones to big ones to etc., etc., etc. And how many of you just regard that as almost your right or your entitlement? And actually, it's luxury. Wow. We get good manna here. We're very blessed. There's good manna. There's different people that speak here. The leaders you have, like Brian and Shona. They bring great wisdom and great manna. And sometimes you get so much of it, you just take it for granted. It just becomes that coriander-tasting bread that the Israelites were fed up with. You know, the posters on the wall over there that have been up a while, they can just become a bit normal. And yet, they're not really. They're rich. And there's a richness. And it's good to do things like we just did and talk about the manna, to talk about the word that's been brought, whether it's a prophetic word, a word in prayer, a word of wisdom, or a spoken word. I do heartily recommend, if you don't do this, to buy yourself a journal, a nice notebook, you know, and make notes of what you learn. A lot of people think, oh, when I get something from God, you just had something from God. And you just make notes of it. And you're fine with what happens is it helps you to feed spiritually on that and grow. Because what God is doing here in this militancy is causing us all to grow up, where we're feeding ourselves and feeding on the word ourselves, so that we're growing up and teaching one another rather than waiting for the for the spoon feeding. So, yeah, buy one in the style you like, and maybe a pen you like or something like that, or maybe you want to use your tablet or something. But have it and start to make notes. And if you process things in a different way, you know, you can draw pictures. Amanda does. She shows me sometimes when God's been speaking to her. She draws some amazing pictures. And what she does is she's processing the truth of what God is saying by drawing a picture. Maybe you sculpture. Maybe for you it's writing a piece of music or a picture to put on the wall or taking some amazing photographs, and you love to just be creative in Photoshop. Or you want to do, you're more of a graphic design in Adobe Illustrator and you do something like that. Or, well, you get the picture. For too long we have a tendency to put aside creativity, and we need to release that creativity. I was very excited. Darren was telling me today, don't know where he is. There he is. He was telling me about the evening you had at your place, Martin and Teresa, and you had like a creative crafts evening, didn't you? What a great idea. There were some fabulous pictures. Darren was showing them to me on his phone. And I did mistake somebody's tree for the bridge in Scarborough, so I did apologise for not having my glasses on. Fortunately, it wasn't Darren's picture we were looking at that point. But no, my point is, you know, those kind of things, let's release those gifts of creativity in the church again. You know, the church has been historically the source of creativity in nations. And I wouldn't say it is these days. Although I do remember in the 90s, we were really desperately praying that we would have music that was cutting edge, leading edge music again, because to be honest, most Christian music was pretty naff still. You know, we had DC Talk and that was about it. But nowadays there's been a recognition, and there's so much good music. So use those things. What am I saying? Don't take the manna for granted, and make the most of what God gives you, and remember to be thankful for the manna that he's bringing you. Just because something comes again and again and again and again, don't write it off. You know, just because God keeps talking about being shamelessly audacious, don't think, oh, I did that. No, we haven't. We haven't. Don't think, oh, Isaiah 62 again. People have been preaching for that word for more than 2,000 years. So, you know, we really only just joined the bandwagon. It's happened before, you know. We had the theme on Masterpiece. What, the Masterpiece again? Yeah. What, Nehemiah again, if we're going to go back into the darker days of history? Nehemiah again? Yeah. Yeah, because the manna always has something new. At first glance, it looks the same. But if you meditate on it, if you think about it, if you talk about it, if you draw pictures with it, if you make music from it, if you design stuff from it, if you take photographs from it, if you turn it into dance or drama, God can speak to you further and further and further. Anyway, what a great morning. Just the militant church and the worship, the powerful worship, the way everybody's poured everything together, the prayer that's gone into us being here, the people's everything. This children upstairs. That's the occasional thunderstorm. The hub team, the cleaners. It's just so much, and it all is to glorify God. Have an absolutely awesome week. I won't be there this Thursday because I will be traveling back from Manchester, but, you know, gather together, get the manna, intercede for that event to come, or however the Holy Spirit leads, and let's all get together next weekend to be the militant church together, to see the kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Have an absolutely awesome week. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.